Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams, pleased to be back. Sherry Coolidge, she's still here. Silent Phil on the ones and twos. And our special guest today is Cincinnati Parks Foundation Executive Director Jennifer Spicer. Really looking forward to having her join us here momentarily. A lot of exciting things going on with the Parks Foundation in the Cincinnati Parks. It's that time of year again where people are getting out and getting fresh air, and Cincinnati Parks are a big part of that. But first, Sherry, and I think we'll talk to Jennifer a little bit about this topic as well and kind of the role the Parks Foundation could play. But litter, and this is a story that you've been on all over and on top of, litter in the city of Cincinnati. And goodness gracious, Sherry, it's not just litter, it's freaking dumping. People will just dump stuff. And coming off of a forum Monday night hosted by the Inquirer to really try to get community involvement in addressing this problem.
I think we agreed. I mean, Liz Keating really put this together, and the Inquirer agreed to help out because we saw the reaction that the stories we've been writing, they've just really resonated in the community, and everybody is looking for a way to help. And, you know, as much as I wish I could say, oh, if you go and clean up litter yourself and you're a volunteer, you know, that's enough and that's going to fix the problem. Unfortunately, it is at a point where it's bigger than that, and it's going to take some big fixes. That, of course, is part one little part of the big fix. I don't want to deter people from doing that. And we've been doing that with our son, Jack, who's 14 and cares a lot about the earth. And it was a way, and he feels like when he does that, he's helping his planet. And there's a lot of opportunities to do that, but it is going to take a lot more. And so, you know, I have to say, Liz Keating, she sees it as a problem. She's a mom. She talks about issues that face families, like in her role as a council member. And she is like, what are we doing here? It's the same problem every single year. Yeah. And it's the same, it's the same, it's the same. And so she is bringing this idea used by other cities, which is my favorite thing when City Hall looks around the country and sees best practices elsewhere and doesn't reinvent the wheel. There are things that Cincinnati is amazing at and people should look to us for, but there are also things elsewhere that we can look to. And so some cities are doing these things called hackathons, where they, you know, kind of get the best, you know, minds in a room all at one time and put and try and solve the issue in a way that hasn't been solved. I mean, if the Department of Public Services could solve the problem, they would. If the law department, you know, by enforcement could solve the problem, they would. If Keep Cincinnati Beautiful could, you know, solve the problem, they would. It's not that they don't want to, but like, what is that magic combination? And this is a very serious program that really ends with this hackathon, where it's like you crunch all the city data. Then you bring the community together and you want to hear what they have to say. And I have to tell you, it was a group of like 50, 60 people, but they had a lot to say. This was the kind of forum where people didn't just come to listen, they were there to talk. It was from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. At 8:15, people were still talking. And they would have stayed and kept talking because they're so passionate about this. So that's one little part of it. And then there's a survey. I'll tweet that out again. A lot of people have taken the survey. It's really actually very quick, but you can kind of you put your thoughts where the problem is and what you think should be done. The city wants to hear that because all of that data, the city data, what was said at the forum, what's in this survey is going to be handed to, you know, to these people who attend the hackathon and look at this as a challenge, you know, for a weekend. And I'm really excited to see what comes out of that and to, you know, city spends millions on this. I was kind of looking and doing some loose math, and I might end up doing a story on all of the different areas that we're spending money on to try and fix the problem, only to see the litter in the exact same place you saw it last week after it's cleaned up, or the dumping in the place that you saw it the last time there was dumping in neighborhoods by homes. So anyway, Liz Keating really has just brought this program to Cincinnati. It's like all hands on deck kind of thing. So we'll keep writing about that and let's see what happens.
Yeah. And to be clear too, Sherry, great work you've done on this, and, you know, kudos to Councilwoman Keating as well. And, it's not just someone throwing out, you know, a McDonald's cup or a McDonald's bag or a Wendy's bag or whatever. It's literally people taking old mattresses and old desks or old couches and just literally like just dumping them on a sidewalk, right?
Exactly.
And it's hard to fathom that, and it's people are tired of it, and you saw that. I think you probably heard a lot of that in the forum, right? That like
they are tired of it, and they're begging for fixes.
Well, stay tuned on cincinnati.com and check is this our survey that's on cincinnati.com right now.
It's the city's doing a survey. You know what? I don't think I linked to it in the story. I will do that, and I'll tweet it out again.
Okay. But check out Sherry's coverage ongoing on Cincinnati.com because a really important issue. And kudos to Councilwoman Keating for attacking. You know, what a city elected official should be doing, and that is working on things that are impacting people's lives on a daily basis, important stuff. This is important work. Basic services at the end of the day is what this is. And this is what makes living in the city, a great thing or could be a bad thing. So good job by Councilwoman Keating. Good job by Sherry for really bringing attention to it and bringing awareness to it, to the community. And, I think that dovetails nicely into our guest because we are going to ask our guest about how this could impact or how it does impact our park system here in the city of Cincinnati. So let's jump over and bring on Jennifer Spicer. All right, special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati podcast. And with the weather getting warm, you're wanting to get out to those parks. And we thought, hey, this would be a great time to have Cincinnati Parks Foundation Executive Director Jennifer Spicer join us today. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. What is going on with the Parks Foundation?
Well, I think just out in parks in general, we're very proud. Things are starting to bud, and we expect to see the cherry blossoms in full bloom soon. And at the Cincinnati Parks Foundation, we're just busy working away on several different projects that we've been working on for a couple years. We're excited to dedicate this year.
So one I've kind of been following along with is the Ezra Charles statue.
Yes.
And yes. So that's over in Laurel Park?
It is. It's in Laurel Park in the West End. And it's a beautiful crescent-shaped park that's right in the heart of the community. And this is a project that a group of artists came to us back in 2017. And they thought, you know, what a way to honor Ezra Charles's legacy along Ezra Charles Drive within Laurel Park than to erect a statue of Ezra. And to celebrate not just him being a heavyweight boxing champion, but to celebrate his life and legacy of just being, you know, a good human being and an ambassador for the community. He was bilingual. He was a veteran, a jazz musician, a tailor. He used to take an ice cream cart around the neighborhood on hot summer days. So for us at the foundation, we recognized immediately that it was definitely more than a piece of public art, although we're quite proud of that. It incorporated a revitalization of the park. It has a very low tree canopy in the West End community, and the parks have a goal to fix that. And so what we did is planting trees within Laurel Park and throughout the West End was a goal. And so 140 trees went in through a partnership with Mad Tree Brewing and the Cincinnati Parks Foundation, Cincinnati Parks. And that's just one piece of it. We also have a wonderful Cincinnati Cobra route that mimics some of the running routes that Ez actually had, you know, completed throughout the city when he was training to fight Rocky Marciano. And Rocky was running in Central Park, and so Ez took to the Cincinnati Hills and was running throughout Cincinnati. And so you'll notice it's up and live on a Progressive web app, but it's Cincinnati Cobra route, and it starts right at the base of Laurel Park. And there's three different routes that you can take. One's a little bit easier, one's a little harder, and then the hardest one takes you all the way to Eden Park to the top of the art climb.
I will put are hills against any other training course in this country. True story. And can you imagine if he had the art climb then?
It's a real moment, you know, kind of like Rocky when you get to the top.
Jennifer, the Parks, and just for our listeners to make sure you folks know, Parks Foundation, you're the fundraising arm,
That's right. And you
work on projects like this. And how do you figure out what project to work on? Does the city park board come and say, hey, Park Foundation, we really need money for this, or is it vice versa? You go to the parks and say, hey, it'd be great to have an Ezra Charles statue in Laurel Park, or, you know, how does that work?
That's a great question. So obviously there's a lot of need in this historic park system. It's 200 years old. It's over 130 parks and green spaces spread throughout the 52 neighborhoods of Cincinnati. It's the eighth best urban park system in the country. We celebrate that. It makes our city glow, really. There is, I think it's about $75 million worth of maintenance and capital improvements. And there's that. There's also a 2007 master plan, and that's a guiding document that the park's director and the commissioners work from. Included in that plan was the development of a lower reservoir wall at Tom Jones Commons and Eden Park. Smale Riverfront Park, which was then referred to as Cincinnati Riverfront Park, was also part of that plan. But obviously there's a list of priorities that they're kind of rating as worse to, we can put that on the back burner. And in 2018, the Cincinnati Parks Foundation came forward with a request to the leadership of parks and said, you know, we really want to focus attention on neighborhood parks. We want to create a neighborhood parks campaign in simple, where it's micro projects, but that are meaningful and impactful to the communities surrounding that park. This could be anywhere from replacing a 20-year-old playground, which we did at Inwood Park, or replacing trees that have been lost from the Emerald Ash Borer that came through in the mid-2000s. It took over 10,000 trees in the system. So we did a bunch of new trees at Mount Storm Park, and we installed an irrigation line through our fundraising. Hyde Park Square, the revitalization of that linear park, was another one of our projects. We're working on a really neat project with Cincinnati Off-Road Alliance to fundraise for a beginner skills mountain bike course at Mount Airy Forest, which is the largest park in the system. It's 1,459 acres, and we're so proud of that park. We're actually going to be there tonight, removing litter from the hillside. We got to talk about litter before this
ends.
We
do need to do that.
So anyway, to answer your question, though, you know, we kind of pushed, but there are times where the foundation can advocate for a project, which is what we absolutely did for Ezra Charles. But the parks team understood, like, that's a park in a historically Black neighborhood that didn't have a single park bench. And, you know, everyone's recognizing these inequalities or deficiencies in the system, and they're trying to get to a baseline standard. And they need partners like the Cincinnati Parks Foundation and like all these wonderful, like, volunteers, over $1 million worth of volunteer labor, to help them just take care of the system. So we took a look at their list and wanted to be very purposeful in making sure that it was projects that could be geographically diverse. If you notice, like, it hits west, east, north, south. And we didn't want to create, like, okay, this is a multi-million dollar campaign that's going to take a decade. We just wanted to focus on those smaller things where it's like, yep, we can raise $100,000 to $250,000 and fix that. In the meantime, so the park, you know, the park commissioners, the park board, they're responsible to develop those priorities. And then, you know, in a perfect system, they're just, like, on an annual basis coming to us and saying, here's where we've identified areas of need. And then we tie that to our strategic plan. I can tell you, like, I'm grateful that we identified a neighborhood parks campaign. We focused there in 2018, and we're just getting to the last park from that list of eight neighborhood parks.
So in the midst of doing all of that, mm-hmm. I think I saw news that you won a big award.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Sherry, thank you so much for talking about that. So in 2019, we met with an amazing doctor at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. She's a physical therapist. Her name's Dr. Jen Angeli. She created a Be Well program, which essentially it was just getting the kids and their parents and guardians out of the PT rooms at Cincinnati Children's Hospital and getting them outside. And so she had run that for several years. However, there had never been a relationship with Cincinnati Parks. And, you know, we like to tell the story because it's like, you know, sometimes when you have these coffee meetings or you just like going on a hike with somebody and you just start to talk, you realize like, gosh, we could just collaborate. And, you know, we have this awesome Hats Off Luncheon. We've had it. This will be the 16th year from like past Hats Off Luncheon revenue. We had programming dollars that we could, you know, we're trying to like figure out like, how can we invest? Well, we could invest in partnering with the third best pediatric children's hospital, a pediatric hospital in the country, and we can create accessible, adaptable programming within several of our parks through these efforts. And so we, of course, you know, took it to our board in 2019, and it was a no-brainer. Then COVID happened, and working with Dr. Angeli and her team and our team, they were able to pivot and create virtual or create, you know, complete, you know, obviously you're outside, so safe places, safe programming for families. It includes, you know, adaptive running, hiking, yoga, martial arts. They're doing a really cool dance class at in Mount Airy right now at one of the lodges, and that's every Sunday. But this specific award was first place winner for the adaptive hiking program, and that's an additional collaboration. So we work with Cincinnati Children's and Luke 5 Adventures, who created this program where it's an adaptive hiking chair. You can literally carry someone through the woods. And the most special piece of it is, sometimes and often it's somebody that's never had the opportunity to be like in a, like to hike. And so, you know, certainly through this pandemic, it's been hard. It's been sad. Lots of us have lost people, and to be outside in the fresh air and to see people experience pure joy from being able to do something before that they never had the opportunity to do, I will tell you, is like life-changing and extremely motivating to continue to do this work. And so that program won a first place award. And then out of three finalists in the state, we received the governor's award. And that just happened in February. And it takes collaborations, partners, passion, and money.
And money.
Yeah.
Jennifer, congratulations to you and the foundation on that. That's exciting. And you mentioned the pandemic, and I was thinking before you even said that, that we saw how important, we already know how important parks were, but I think that got elevated during the pandemic. What was that like for you at the foundation? Did you have an overwhelming amount of people coming and saying, we want to give more, we want to help more? Where was the Parks Foundation kind of in all of that, as parks have become so critical to so many more people's lives, I believe?
That's a great question. I think that people recognized how essential parks were to their wellness and mental well-being. It was the only thing that we could do, really. And I'm so grateful that the leadership at Cincinnati Parks kept the parks open and kept essential employees there to keep everything running, because, you know, really what a scary time for everybody, but to be outside, to be able to hike, to be able to experience, you know, the trees and the trails was life-saving to us. And so, we had a situation where we had a woman call from a local nursing home, and she simply just wanted our executive assistant to talk about what the cherry blossom trees looked like at All Park. And, you know, Bettina from our team is amazing. And she's like, oh, but, you know, we can send you pictures and, you know, we'd be happy to coordinate, you know, somebody come meet you or, you know, whatever. And unfortunately, like, she couldn't leave where she was. And the woman said, no, if you could just spend time just telling me about them. And it like, our hearts like exploded, and our team met and thought we can bring maybe like from this perspective, like just quiet moments in parks. And every Friday we spent just 15 minutes. We propped up an iPhone against rocks along creeks, by trees, and went to different places and just like sat quietly to listen to nature. Because, you know, again, like some people really couldn't leave their homes, and we were just trying to figure out like, how can we like provide access? So that's a special story. And at the end of the year, you know, as people are writing letters, so many testimonials of, you know, thank you, which we thank Cincinnati Parks and that team for doing that work. And we're just here to provide support and be a resource for that. And we're so proud of our parks.
You know, where can we go see the cherry blossoms this year? Where are the big cherry blossom trees?
There's 1,000 Japanese cherry blossom trees that were planted years ago, and that's at All Park. And so there's so many wonderful parks throughout the system, but if you want to see so many planted so beautifully, go to All. And you'll notice it's like a drive-through sometimes. It was actually during 2020 where you had to like wait your turn to get through the park.
Wow.
Yeah. But Mount Echo Park, beautiful. That's like one of the best views of the city is there. And we actually had a really cool partnership with Fenberry and Life Center, who provides organ donations. And they did a beautiful tree, like 40 trees were donated, and beautiful signage and quotes along an accessible path were just planted last year. So I recommend you go there too, just to see some trees.
When's peak time here?
Right now. So the buds are there. If you go through Eden Park, you'll see some magnolias blooming. And but yeah, this is the peak time now for just maybe a couple more weeks. Maybe 7. Maybe 7 days.
Jennifer, we like to have our guests tell a little about yourself and how did you get involved with the Parks Foundation, and what's your background?
Thank you. So I concentrated my whole career in the nonprofit sector. I went to UC. I'm a Cincinnati kid, and I had the chance to work for the Cincinnati Parks Foundation as like a development associate many years ago, and it's an amazing mission. I worked here for about 2.5 to 3 years and kind of understood how the organization functioned before, how, you know, then they had just completed the master plan. And so it was exciting to see, you know, how things were, you know, how they were trying to go about this preliminary work based off the plan. And then I had this opportunity to go to the Cincinnati Fire Department, and they created this like a grants rule. And it was one of the first times they had created a position, a civilian position. And they, at the time, you know, when I went for it, like my grandpa Fred was a Cincinnati firefighter. He was a captain. He retired in 1974, and I have 3 brothers, big Italian family on one side, but we were so proud of our grandpa Fred. And I definitely wasn't brave enough to do what they do, frontline first responders, but I thought I can help in this way. So I was there, worked for 8 years, raised $35 million. We had 130 firefighters hired through federal grants. Wow. We had amazing leadership, and at the time, Chief Bond was the acting chief, and he said, you know, I think there was 840 firefighters at the time. There's like 20 members of the civilian team. And he said, you know, hey, you're trying to raise money here. Would you consider being our spokesperson? And so I did that. And so I talk to Sherry about this often, because I completely respect all of you and really having to be on the clock 24/7, because that's the, you know, I had that role, also raise money. Respect it. One other thing too is we created the Cincinnati Fire Foundation with a group of really dedicated volunteers, trying to model after the Cincinnati Parks Foundation, which, you know, we've been here for 27 years, you know, connected to trying to support, you know, a city department. And so again, like that, you know, the Cincinnati Fire Foundation's doing that too on a local level. They're working with a team there to help, you know, you got to hit federal, state, and local dollars to support, you know, municipal work.
No, it's so true in today's world. Mm-hmm. It takes everybody, yeah, and the volunteers that the foundations bring in to help. Oh, and people want to help, and they look for opportunities mm-hmm. to do that. And the foundations are a path in to do. If you don't want to be a firefighter and you still want to help, and if you don't, mm-hmm. you know, your day job does sound amazing. I'm not going to lie. You get to spend it in parks. You know what? I hate to be serious, but I have been writing a lot about the litter. You know, mm-hmm. I'm struggling in my head about how to define the litter problem in Cincinnati, just because mm-hmm. it's just persistent is a word that kind of comes to mind. Chronic, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a crisis, but it's around all the time. It's one of the top complaints that that comes into City Hall. So I've been writing a lot about it, and yeah. I know it is a big problem in parks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a decline in staffing, and it's just every year they face that issue. And so the foundation, like we have a strategic plan, thankfully, from one of our board members who gave us that awesome gift. But, you know, our team met like 5 or 6 times last year, just trying to hone in on like, what do we want to be about? What are we concentrating on? What's left? And how do we go about doing it? And so we're creating this Obliterators litter program. And that is in and around parks, bright yellow t-shirts. Everyone on our board, our emerging leaders, our stakeholders, partners will be invited to come once a month with us. Tonight we'll be at Mount Airy along the hillside with one of our partners, Cincy Hikes. But it is a problem. And I think that I think Jonathan Adi from Keep Cincinnati Beautiful is doing amazing work. I'm also like really like, I know you were there on Monday. It's like Councilmember Keating leading this effort to figure out like, what's the solve here? Because I think we are seeing more litter. I think people, I'm not quite sure. I know that there's a science behind it too. It's like, well, how many cans are the cans being emptied? Where's the can in comparison to X? And so we figured like, in addition to fundraising and advocacy, which is important, we too are out on those trails or out in those parks. And not only like are, you know, these capital improvements, but we're investing more than $200,000 in programming those parks, activating those spaces with free yoga classes, investing into Cincinnati Park Advisory Councils, like giving them grant opportunities so they can program their own neighborhood parks. And we're hoping that that too is like part of a solution where when you're there and you're there for something like a movie night or a yoga class, like you're just, you feel accountable and responsible and you too want to take, wouldn't be feeling like you're full of pride about your neighborhood park. And so, I think that that's part of like what we're going to try to help with more. And we also had a generous donor that's just been like talking about this for a couple of years. And you know, he's kind of underwriting, you know, it costs money to have litter pickers and individuals to pick everything up. And so he's underwriting this program. That's part of like what we're trying to do here.
Oh, I love that someone's doing that, like mm-hmm. in putting their donation dollars towards that.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not just the litter that we're seeing. You know, the Inquirer recently, you know, there was a lot being said about there was a lot of sex crimes in Mount Airy Park. You don't really have to address that. We're going to leave that to the police department because there's still a lot of solutions out there. I mm-hmm. think they might be working on. But, you know, it does seem like we do hear that about the parks, too. And that has to be hard.
Yeah, I think that these are the people's parks and they use all sorts of things are happening throughout the city. And, you know, what we aren't the police department. We value and respect what they do. You know, where the focus lies, our solution is investing in programming so that more people are in the parks, people, having a lot of people in an area deter crime. When you go on a hike, you're not going by yourself. You're going with, you know, another person at the very least.
No, 100%. And, you mm-hmm. know, it is such a thing when you talk about programming parks. I think the public just sees it as like, I mean, if you look at Fountain Square and how it's programmed mm-hmm. all the time, like that, the programming is, you know, oh, this fun event and this is happening there. It's sure. actually to deter crime. And you see that mm-hmm. in Washington Park, too. Like the programming really does go hand in hand with that.
It really does. And we love Washington Park. And, you know, it's amazing what 3CDC does. And we love Smale Riverfront Park. I mean, that's that's our beautiful riverfront park that's award-winning. We kind of looked at this, though, and thought, you know, we're doing these pop-up programs and, you know, Sawyer Point and Smale Riverfront Park. But one of those barriers, if you're thinking about it, and one of the things that we want to help remove is, you know, you still have to pay to park. That's difficult. So when we're doing, when we concentrate on programming neighborhood parks, it's like literally like the neighborhoods surrounding it are, they can just come out of their house and walk and go see a movie or, you know, hear a band play. They so really, they do Shakespeare in the Park up in Mount Storm Park. So there's, activating park spaces is a key for us.
Mount Storm, best sledding hill in the city. Okay.
Totally.
Jennifer, this has been great. Really appreciate you taking some time here today. But before we go, can you let folks know how to find out more about the park, the Parks Foundation, how to get involved, if there's any volunteering or donating opportunities?
Sure. Thank you so much. So you can go to CincinnatiParksFoundation.org and see a list of all of our projects and programs and our amazing board of directors. We also have 850 women's committee members that help us raise money and advocate for all Cincinnati parks. And we're really proud of that. So please join us. You can come volunteer, be an obliterator, get litter out of our city and our parks. And just stay tuned. Please follow us on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Help us.
That's CincinnatiParksFoundation.org. And that's Cincinnati right. Parks Foundation, obviously, on all the social platforms. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining today.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time. Take care.
Thanks again to Jennifer Spicer. You can just tell her passion for the job and love what her and the foundation are doing. And like she said, check out great opportunities for folks out there to really get involved at CincinnatiParksFoundation.org. And Sherry, that brings us to our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. And I don't know if this is a moment, but it's
a feeling.
It is a feeling.
It's a feeling.
And yeah, I think it is a moment. People are coming back to downtown. We're noticing it at nighttime for dinner, nightlife. We're noticing it as you and I sit here in our studio in downtown Cincinnati during the day, during the workday. There's social activity is coming back to downtown. And Sherry, you went to
Maplewood for breakfast this morning. And I got there a little bit before it opened, and there were just people, like, you know, business people streaming down the street with, you know, their crossbody bags and their suits on. And I was like, this feels good. This feels really good. I saw people there. We're seeing them at lunchtime. I went out on Saturday night, too. I basically went to visit two past guests. I went to Nicola's for dinner, and then I went to E19. Amazing guests. Christian Piazzo.
You saw Christian?
No. Oh, the restaurant was a little busy. And then Richard and Marty at E19. And so... But everywhere there were just people like walking around. Both places were pretty crowded, and it felt really normal.
Yeah, and I'm glad before we recorded, you brought that up off the air, and it made, because I was thinking about yesterday. I was on vacation last week, and when I was driving in yesterday,
we missed you.
Missed you guys too. I noticed that, like, just when I drove into downtown in the morning. I was like, wait, there's like a lot of people here, you know, crossing the streets and driving through the streets. And it's like, okay, this is a really good sign. And having commerce and activity and people back and people filling our office buildings. And I don't know if we'll ever truly get back to.
I don't think it'll be the same.
But. People, obviously, companies have, you know, worked out things with employees and all kinds of different industries to, you know, work at home. And because Sherry, I was like, we were on vacation. We met some folks next to us on the beach, and this lady's like, from Tennessee, a mortgage broker or mortgage person. And she's like, they go, they travel in an RV, like a Sprinter van RV that they've had like customized. The two kids.
Oh no! Are you gonna do that? I could totally see you at the wheel of an RV.
I've watched many, many YouTube videos on it over the last couple of years, but yeah, she's talking about just she works from the road. Like they are trying to hit all these national parks, and I was like, "Does your company care?" She's like, "They don't know. I'm allowed to work at home, so it doesn't matter where I'm working from." So there you go. But anyway, yeah, I don't think we'll always have those kind of folks.
I could see Carl now, like the splashing of the waves.
Writing my column from the beach in Hilton Head. Anyway.
There's nothing like being here, being in the mix and like seeing, going to litter forums, you know, attending budget committee. Like my life is getting back to normal.
Yep. Anyway, well, thanks for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed the episode and we will catch you next week.